Usually towards the end of the year, people tend to like to review the prior year to record the trends that are evident and to see things are done. I did this lesson probably about 10 years ago. Things have changed a little bit, and I thought I'd update and talk about the trends that we are facing. I've collected a number of articles, little bits and pieces of facts, talking about the moral trends that we see in the world around us. We are, as Christians, not of the world. We're not people who follow after the world's trends. But the fact is that we have to live in this world. And in John chapter 17, and in verse 15, when Jesus was talking and praying for about his disciples, he said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And over in 1 Corinthians, Paul explaining to the Corinthians in dealing with sins that creep into the church, he says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, he says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or the swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. And therein lies the problem. We have to live in this world, and what happens in the world ends up creeping into our lives and creeping into the lives of those we know. So I'd like to take a few moments this morning and talk about the trends and what God actually says about these matters. One of the interesting trends, and I noticed this 10 years ago and it's continued, is that the overall divorce rate in the United States has actually been going down. In 1990, there were 18.95 divorces, basically 19 divorces per 1,000 marriages. It went down in 2009, down to 17, almost 18 divorces. Down to 2019, it's down to 15 and a half. And in 2021, which is the latest one I could find, it's down to 14 divorces per 1,000 marriages. Another way to look at it, Lydia Anderson wrote this and from the United States Census Bureau. She said that the United States divorce rate fell from 9.7 new divorces per 1,000 women. So it's a little bit different from here. This is 1,000 marriages. But for a number of women from ages 15 and above, the divorce rate was 9.7 in 2009, and now it's down to 7.6 in 2019. And you say, well, wow, in this world that's getting corrupted, something's going right. Except, like most statistics, they don't really say what they really say. The problem is not that people are getting better at being married. The problem is that people are just not bothering to get married. The few that are getting married are the ones who are more committed to marriage and staying in marriage. That's why the divorce rate is going down. From the Census Bureau, it says there are 16.3 new marriages for every 1,000 women age 15 and over in the United States, down from 17.6 in 2009. But the number of parents, American parents who live together without marrying, has increased 12-fold since 1970. I remember 1970. In my lifetime, is 12-fold, by the way, up to 2011. I could not find a newer statistic. I'm positive it's gone up higher than that. In just that year, it's gone up 12 times the number of people living together without getting married. In 2010, only 51% of the adult Americans were married. Now, if you go back to 1960, let me make sure I got this up there. Yeah, go back to 1960, 72% were married. But now it's down to 51 in 2010. And oh, by the way, in 2021, it's down to 47. It's dropping. We have a rapid drop of people who are bothering to get married. And worse, just 20% of adults from 18 to 29 are married. Of all the people that you know, of adults, only 20% are actually married, compared to 59% in 1960. And yet, at the same time, divorce has been rising. In fact, among older people. So people from the ages of 50 to 64. There's been an increasing number of divorces. From 6.9 divorces per 1,000 marriages in 1990 to 12.6 divorces per 1,000 marriages in 2009. And that was from back an article back in 2011. The older people are more likely to get divorced than younger people. And again, it's not what you might think. What it is that younger people are not bothering to get married. It says now one in four people are getting divorced who are over the age of 50. In 1990, it was less than one in 10. And what is happening is that we have an older generation that viewed marriage as permanent, and they're dying off. A younger generation that still emphasizes marriage is growing up, but they're more willing to divorce. In fact, I found a very telling statement from 2011. It said, the divorce rate for aging boomers is twice as high as those who had previously divorced than those who were on their first marriage. Once you start divorcing, it becomes a habit. Now take a look at 1 Corinthians 7 for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 10, it says, but to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. That is what God wants. Divorce shouldn't exist. But people being people, people are going to divorce. But it should be a rarity, not a commonality. But the problem we're having is that following these older generations, we have a generation that's just not even bothering getting married. I remember several years ago having a long conversation with a young lady, and she basically said, I'm not getting married because my parents got divorced and that ruined my life, so I'm just not going to bother with the marriage. And I just looked at her and said, how does that fix anything? Which is going to be the theme for tonight. Families that would be unstable anyway are just skipping marriage, is what's being said. The few that do are among those who see marriage as permanent. They're more committed to it. That's why the divorce rate's dropping among those who actually do it, because it's only the ones who are really committed to marriage that are bothering to get married. Now take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Marriage is an honorable state. And what we're doing is, what the trend is, we're losing sight of that. And the shift is affecting not just the people who are getting married, it's affecting the future generations. Again, from back in 2011, 42% of children who live with cohabiting parents by age 12, far more than the 24% of those parents who are divorced. Almost half the children in the United States are being raised not by married couples. What do you think that does to people's attitudes? What does it do to people's expectations? We talked about the elementary principles of the world. We have a world of people now, half of which don't actually grow up seeing a marriage. What's going to happen? If you look at the problem of unwed sex, which is really what happens when you aren't married, you just unwed sex. One statistic is that the percentage of unmarried births by teenagers versus all other births has declined from 52% in 1975 to 21% in 2009 to 15% in 2020. And you you look at it and say, look at that. We're doing something right. You know, teenage births are going down. And a similar type of good trend is the reports for sexual intercourse in high school. That's been going down. In 1991, it was 54%. 2007, it was basically 48%. 2017, it's 39.5%. 2019, it's 38.5%. It's going down. But actually, while it sounds good, we got a different problem. This one is not just focused on teenagers. This is all unmarried births. And in 1980, which is where this chart starts, it's at 18.5%. By 1995, it jumps all the way up to 32%. By 2009, it's 41%. It's kind of been staying stable since then. At about 40, and right now 2020 is 40.5%. 40% of all children are born outside of marriage. What it means is that unmarried teenage births are decreasing, yes, but unmarried births to non-teens are rising rapidly. Thus, the premarital sex after high school has been increasing. Now, take a look at 1 Corinthians 6. And in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that got me wondering, if high school sex is going down, I don't think high schoolers have changed that much. So something is being fudged. Something is altered and changed. So I looked at sexual diseases. 17% of all new HIV cases involve people under 24. During 1997 to 2006, the rate of AIDS diagnosed reported among males age 15 to 19 nearly doubled, from 1.3 cases per 100,000 to 2.5 cases per 100,000 in 2006. 53% of all STDs involved people under 24, from 15 to 24. Over half of all the STDs, the new STDs reported, involved somebody between 15 and 24. So what's going on? How does it go down in one thing and we got doubling? We got over half the other side. See, while intercourse is decreasing among high schoolers, other forms of sex are increasing. Oral sex in 2005. 71% of 18 to 19-year-olds have been involved in it. 43% of 15 to 17-year-olds. Well, there's where all the STDs coming from. Because oral sex doesn't stop the spread of STDs. Nearly 30% increase in the reportable STDs between 2015 and 2019. A 30% increase just in that time frame. The highest contributing population are homosexuals and young people between the ages of 15 and 24. Here then is another clue. People are turning to homosexuality. It's getting more popular among the young people. See, there's a reason why God warned about sexual diseases. And it is in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Though he's talking about those who commit adultery, it's the same problem. He says in Proverbs 6, verse 32, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He would destroy himself, does it? Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. The wounds as referring to there is the diseases. It's dumb to get involved in unmarried sex because it spreads disease. While I was at it, I started looking at drug use. From 1991 to 2011, the proportion of eighth graders who have said they have used alcohol in the past 30 days declined by half. How good. 40% of high school seniors use alcohol in the past 30 days. Oh, not so good. Somewhere between 8th grade and 12th grade, the rate of alcohol use is going up. Binge drinking by high school seniors dropped from 41% in 1981 to 22% in 2011. That sounds really good. Less high schoolers are binge drinking. By the 12th grade, more than two-thirds of the students have tried alcohol. So it's not that it's cutting down how many people are using alcohol. At least they're not binge drinking. You look at cigarettes. 12.8% of high school students smoked in the last 30 days in 2010, compared to 11.7% in 2011. The amount of cigarette use is actually going down. And actually, in 2022, it's down to 2% smoked cigarettes in the last 30 days. And it sounds really good. You think we're making progress. But e-cigarettes are at 14.1%. 16.5% of high school students report using some form of tobacco product in the last 30 days. Tobacco use hasn't gone down. They just stopped smoking it. They're taking it in different forms. And what I found fascinating was marijuana use. 22% of 12 to 17-year-olds have smoked marijuana in the last month. One out of five in 2019. Teens generally don't think marijuana is dangerous. And that's why it's going up. As more states legalize medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana use has increased, and that's no surprise. But what surprised me most of all is I cannot find a statistic since 2019. They stopped checking. They're legalizing it everywhere, but they're not reporting it anymore. Something's going on. Take a look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and in verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Herein then lies the problem. People are indulging in things that make them feel good. And while some things are going down, things that are actually more dangerous are going up. There's an interesting warning that was said about the decline of the Roman Empire. In Revelation chapter 9, in talking about the decline, it says in Revelation 9, it says, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key to the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened up the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and the power was given them as scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Now I want you to take note of that. The ones who have the seal of God on their forehead are the righteous. This pit is opened up and they're attacking the wicked. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They'll long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were appeared crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and their hair was like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They had tails like scorpions, and stings in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. And they as kings over them. The angel of the abyss, his name is in Hebrew Abaddon, and in the Greek, he's named Apollyon. So what we have here is Satan, the angel of destruction, rises up. He releases smoke. He obscures the sun. He does things in hiding. He blocked people from seeing the light of God's wisdom. He waged a warfare. It would be a spiritual warfare. But it's against his own followers, non-Christians who don't have the mark of God, causing them pain and torment. And yet he could not affect those who are marked by God. See, we often think of Satan as looking to bring Christians down. But Satan is a destroyer. And he doesn't care who he destroys. He's destroying his own followers. misery is in their lives. And they don't even realize that it comes from their own sins. But you see, in God, there's something else that we can have. God offers us something that the world can never offer. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The world is filled with misery, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we don't have to partake in that. We can have peace, and there is an opportunity for us today to gain that peace. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.